Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious
friends. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious
years
of memory,
a memory.
Oh, what joy, they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church.
Well, praise the Lord, and good morning, everyone. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, we love You this morning. We love the Lord Jesus Christ, and we love the Holy Spirit. Father, we love Your Word, and we love teaching it. We're asking now, Father, for Your love to be upon us so that we can share with others around us throughout this day, Father. Grant unto us Your blessings and to restore us, Father, to the place that we need to be. If any is weak this morning, Father, give them strength. Give them health. Because, Father, Your word has told us that You will supply all of our needs. We know that Your word is truth, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. We're going to be taking a look this morning at the rest of 1 John chapter 2. We didn't get all the way through that. And we may even get into chapter 3. Because as Ken and I were talking a little bit ago about the Word of God, you know, when we really accept His Word, He don't leave any wiggle room for us. He tells us exactly how it is supposed to be. And how we are to walk. And He also tells us what will happen if we don't do it. You see, there's only two ways to live our lives. There's no three or four or five ways like a lot of people are thinking. And there's one thing for sure. We don't live it by ourselves. We are either living our lives to serve and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, or else we're living our lives serving and following Satan. that old devil and his bunch of demons. And when we are the children of Almighty God, he has given you and I everything we need in order to be able to walk upright and in accordance with his will and his way. But so many of those today that are claiming to be Christian and his children are not, because they have been over the last 60 or so years have been taught so much deceivement and actually contrary to God's word. 10 days. I had told Kenny that I had something I wanted to share with all of you this morning. The last 10 days, I have learned quite a bit more about some things that I really didn't fully understand. And there's some of it we still don't really understand how it works, but I know that it does because I'm living that right now. All of you know that I have been facing some things that has been quite painful. I've been in the hospital. I've been to two other doctors even. But there's one thing about it. My great physician has been with me through all of it. We wonder at times, I have had some of the worst pain I have ever had in my life. And I've had it day and night. And I was sitting and I had been reading God's word. And it came to me, even though I had this pain, there was a peace and a calmness about me that really I couldn't understand. Lord, as bad as I'm hurting, how can I have this kind of peace and calmness within? But it was there, see, because I wasn't there by myself. The Lord Jesus Christ was there with me. And there was that peace, calm, and joy. And over these days that I have been bothered by this, there has been more time spent with him than I had spent with him in a long time. And I have read in the last 10 days, I have read completely through the New Testament again. I've been able to spend time with him in prayer, talking with him, and in listening for his voice talking to me. And it has brought a lot of things back into my life that really I had been missing. And even now, all of the pain is not gone. But just like this morning and at this time, I can rejoice because he's with me. And once again, I'm in his word. And I'm learning and growing stronger each and every day. These are things that I want for all of us. These are things that I want to reach out to share with mankind. And I'm hoping that through the next few services that each one of you can have what I've got. Think about it. So we're going to be picking up here with 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to back up three verses that we had covered because I want to start there. And we'll finish out with chapter 2. We'll see what the Holy Spirit really has for us. All right, beginning with verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son has the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Now may the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this his word. And may the Holy Spirit now come forth and share with you and I the message and the truth that God would have each of us to receive this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, as we back up here with this, to really see, to understand what is being said. And all of you know, because you've been with me long enough and you've heard me teach so many times, that his word is truth. Not what I think, not what you think, but what his word says. Because his word doesn't lie, and neither does he. But the world and, as I heard another minister say, the 5 out of 7 churches today is full of hearsay instead of the word of God, and teaching things they ought not to teach, because they are teaching things that is contrary to the word of God. And as we all know, we are living in the last of time. And we're getting well into those days. We don't know when he's coming, but we know it's not as far off as what most mankind would love to think. And we know that there is also nothing really left to be fulfilled that we have been told to watch for that has not already come about, to keep the Lord from coming. He can come at any time. What we need to do is we need to really spend time with him and in his word. Because you see, if we are really and truly believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we also have the Father and the Son. And we will never die. Oh, now, Pastor, that's an awful broad statement. No, it isn't. It's all according to God's word. That's the reason I ask you to spend time in God's word. Search these things that you, and especially these things you'll hear me say. And you'll find what I'm telling you. And you'll find that you can stand stronger regardless of what you are facing. No mountain is too big, no valley too deep that God cannot keep his own. But we cannot waver back and forth. Once we become his, we are his. And we're going to find out just how strong that really is, and what is expected of us here within the next few services. All right, now, he told us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Yet, there is a certain love that we have for the world that we should have because God created the world. But that's the part of the world that you and I are to love, not what Satan has made of it and what evil man has made of it. And we are to take our love, follow the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God, and be used to help things right that are wrong, and especially among these worldly churches today that are teaching contrary. Is that going to be all joy? No. Yes, you'll be filled with joy because of it, but still, you're going to be talked about, lied on, lied about. And one day, not too far in the future, you could even be jailed for it, for standing on the truth of God's word. We're told that we would be persecuted. He was, and we would be. So know that when you make up your mind to go to the Lord Jesus Christ, but also make it up to stand firm and fast. Stand without wavering. Because we don't want to be like the waves of the sea tossed to and fro. We want to stand steadfast firmly on the word of Almighty God. But you see, we've let a lot of things of this world, mankind has, come between him and God. And you've heard me speak about some of them several times. But it's things that we need to continue, keep before us, because it can cost us. Our everlasting life. Think about it. Now, here in 16 he says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And we've let a lot of things out here pull us away from church when we should not have let it happen, things of this world. Well, we have to live. God told you he would keep you. Where's your trust? Where's that trust in him? Where's that faith? He tells us that if we have the faith so small, it's as small as a mustard seed, which is actually the smallest seed known to man. And just that amount of faith can move mountains. Think about it. I want you to really think about that. What's that tell you about your faith? How strong is your faith? And we need to be spending more time in God's Word, because that's where faith comes from. You say, well, how can I build my faith? It comes from the Word of God. Comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word. That is how our faith is built. That's where peace and joy comes from within our lives. Now, 17. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You see, when you will stand firmly as his child, as that child of Almighty God, we know this world is going to pass away. He just told us that. And all the lust of this world is going to pass away with it. But those that belong to him are to abide forever. So why would you want to turn loose and spend less time with God and the Lord Jesus Christ and more time with this world, when you've just been told it's going to pass away? And if you spend more time with this world than you do with God and his word, you're going to find that you're going to be in a place that you really don't want to be in. But then you'll also find that it's too late and no way out. Now, 18. He says, little children, it is the last time. You see, he's warning them even in that day. This has been back over 2,000 years. So how much further into this last time do you think we are? How close to the end? We need to be living our lives and be ready for his coming at any time. And even though he doesn't come for the church during our lifetime, he's going to be coming for you one day. And you'll need to be just as ready then as if he was coming for the church. Because when he comes for you, even individually, you're going to stand before him and you're going to hear those words. Either, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, because I never knew you, or else, good and well done, thy servant, enter into thy rest. You're going to hear one or the other. My prayer and my concern for you is that you be ready for that good and well done, and that you be able to make heaven your home. 19. He's warning the church now, because you see, they was having trouble in the church also, because John was also first facing a lot of those that were against him and his ministry, just as same as Paul was. You see, they all did back then, because mankind was not wanting to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. When in the early church, they were still trying to get all under the law. And they was given God's men a hard time and a hard way to go. And we're told here now in 19, says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. And what has happened here in the past 60 or 70 years of our time? You see, I've lived all of that time. I have seen the change that has been made here in our land. A land that had no excuse of any kind of turning its back on the Lord Jesus Christ as it did, and took him out of every place he was in. Denying him of everything. This is what our land has done. Our land needs to repent and turn back to God. But will it ever happen? Probably not, because enough of those that call themselves Christians will stand up and make themselves really known and their voices heard. Because they are not, they claim to be. But you and I must get up, get busy, spend more time with the Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in talking with them, sharing with them, and in the study of his word, so that we will have the word to stand on and to use to bring in this revival. We know there is to be one, and we need to be about doing our part to see it begin and to see the glory and the power of Almighty God at work, and to help bring in the harvest. And we are told in his word that the harvest is ripe. It's ready. But the workers are few in bringing it in, because those few has to be equipped with the truth of God's word in order to be a worker of the harvest. Listen to me, church. We are not living in a time to play church. We are living in a time that you better belong to the Lord and the church, because if not, one day you'll split hell wide open. And then no way out. He tells us here, as he's telling in this letter, here in 20, he says, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. That word unction, how many really knows what that means? How many took time to actually see what that word meant? That word means anointing. Well, where did you get that anointing? From the Holy One, the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. When he comes into your life, when you truly have the Holy Spirit in your life, you have been anointed with the power of Almighty God in your life. So what are you afraid of? Why aren't you out here making a way to be in church instead of following the ways of the world? Making time of a morning for prayer and the study of God's word. Pray again at noon and all through the day, thanking God for what you have and what he gives to you. Thanking him for all things. And then in the evening before you go to bed, spend time with him again, talking with him in prayer and listening to him talk to you, and study of his word. Not for 5 or 10 minutes. Take time. To be with him. And in the study. So that you are equipped for whatever work he wants of you to do. He says, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. You see, this Bible was not wrote to the sinner. And that's what a lot of people believe, that it's for the sinner. No, it's for God's people, because we are supposed to know the truth. We are the ones to share this word with those that don't know, those that are in darkness. We are to come to them bringing the light bringing the Lord Jesus Christ to them, sharing him with them, and guiding them to a knowledge of him, to where they then can receive him as their Savior, that they can go to him and ask him for forgiveness of their sins, and that they have enough knowledge to know that if they are asking him in truth and in sincerity, he will do that for them, and that they are forgiven. And then to help them along the road to gain knowledge and to begin to walk as a child of the living God. Now, we know that no lies are the truth. In 22, he says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. You know, I've known men that would tell you that God doesn't exist. They really believed that. And that's the way they lived their life. And then I seen those that claimed they were atheists. But you know, I've never really seen one that was really a true atheist that claimed to be one. I went overseas with a lot of them when we went to Korea, all the way over. You'd hear this from a lot of them. They hit that combat zone, and the first shell started being fired. The first one they called on was the one they said they didn't believe in. Oh, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Keep me safe, Lord. There was a time I rented from one. He run a business known to home that I rented from him. And that home was right behind his business. And I'd try talking with him. And they'd talk with him. But he'd stand and laugh and all. I went to work one day and I come in that evening. There was an ambulance and a police car in front of the business. I pulled in the driveway and got out of the car. One of the officers asked me, he says, are you Mr. Tony? And I said, yes, I am. He says, the man wants to see you. So I went in where they was with him. He looked up at me and he said, you know, he said, you were right. I was wrong. Think about this. Think hard about it. Don't let anything come between you and the Lord. And make a way to be a part of his church. every time possible. Well, most of us, we say, well, we have to work. But have you ever really went and talked to your boss and telling boss, my church meets such and such time, so and so on certain days. Is it possible that I can change my off days to where I can be at church? Because, you see, I am a child of God. And most that will do that will find that your work will not stop you. I know I've been down that road. I've had to do that very thing several times. But God was there with me. And it worked out to where I could make and attend the services at my church. Think about it. All right, now, 23. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same as not the Father. You see, we can't deny Jesus and have the Father. We either have them both or we have neither. And if we've got neither of them, then we don't have the Holy Spirit either. They don't come to you and I separated. Because you see, the three of them are one. We're told that in God's Word. God's Word says, you and I, there are three in heaven that bear record. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. Don't separate them. 24. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Study his word. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your faith to work. And continue to stand steadfast because you have them all. Think about it. And then step out and begin to do the work that the Lord our God will lead you into. Because for everyone that becomes his child, has work to do. He has work for you. It has already been even laid out and planned for you. And he'll guide you in it. You say, well, I don't know what he wants of me. Take time with him. Ask him, Lord, what do you want of me? What do you want me doing, Lord? I'm willing to go where you want me to go. I'm willing to say what you want me to say, Lord. I'm willing to be whatever it is you want me to be. And he'll guide you. He'll let you know what he wants of you. We don't have to doubt and all of that. He goes on here in 25 letting us know when we do these things, he gives us a promise. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. Now, he gives you that promise while you're here on this earth. That's letting you know that as his child, you're not going to die. You've got eternal life. That last breath here means the next one is over there. 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. In studying his word, look what all he has warned you and I about. Right here in this second chapter. And yet we're going to be getting into things even stronger. So let's not let them seduce us. And the only way we can do that is by being right with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because everything goes through him. We have no other way. Everything is through the Lord Jesus Christ. 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. That anointing you received by the Holy Spirit of God, now that abides in you to the point. Listen to this next. And you need not that any man teach you. Why? Because as the same anointing teaches you of all things, when you will spend that time in prayer, and quality and quantity of time in God's word, while you are reading and studying his word, the Holy Spirit is guiding you into the truths of it, into the depths of it. Oh, now, Pastor. No, Pastor's telling you what he knows, because Pastor's telling you exactly what he had to learn also. Been through it. And still going through a lot of teaching. And will be until the day I step out of this life and into the next. We'll not quit learning. But there are things that in order to have eternal life that we do need to know and to understand and to live. And that, when we are doing the right things and spending our time with the Lord Jesus, with the Father, and in his word, the Holy Spirit will teach you and I. And he goes on to tell us, as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. Oh, praise his holy name. Praise that name of Jesus. Forgave me my sins. That covered my sins with his blood. That took all of our sicknesses and all of our diseases and all of our sins to the cross. He bore them all, so that we wouldn't have to bear them, and especially not by ourselves. Yes, there's times we'll bear things, but we're not bearing them by ourselves. He's right there with us. I know. He's been with me now through this hard time I've been going through. 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming, to be ashamed before him. How are you standing today? Would you be ashamed before him? And we're going to close with this next verse. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Praise his holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Are you a born again child of the living God? We'll be getting into some stronger stuff later on this evening at 5 o'clock. All right. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, that we have a way of coming to you. A way, Father, that we can make heaven our home. That we don't have to live a perverse life, Father. That we can have a way with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Fill us now, Father, with your word. Keep our hearts and our minds open to be receptive, Father. And help us to spend time in conversation with you, talking with you, Father, and listening to you speak to us. And in the study of your word, and listen to the Holy Spirit as he guides us into the truth and depth of that word, Father. Now, Father, we thank you for this service this morning. And as we have closed your word, we thank you for it and for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we ask now to keep us safe through the rest of this day. Give us something to think about, Father, until this evening at 5 o'clock, when we can come together again to share into your word with each other. And the saints, Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. And Father, for Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for peace for them. But even more so, Father, we pray that all of Israel will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. This land of ours, Father, that without any excuse whatsoever turned its back on Jesus so far away. Help us now, Father, to remove from office those that have stood against the church, against the Lord Jesus Christ, against your people, and to replace them, Father, with those that love you, that love your church, that love the Lord Jesus Christ, and will work with us to bring our government to repentance and put it back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, our prayer list. as each name is mentioned. I pray that the Holy Spirit will touch each one to fulfill whatever need they have, whether that need be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Dennis Breeden, Dennis Lee, James Taylor, Terry Copes, myself, Father, all of our families, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. Father, that the Holy Spirit can work among our families. Bring those out of darkness and into light, that light being Jesus, so that none be lost and all can make and find heaven as their home and spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. For our brothers in Christ in Brandenburg, Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church of Irvington, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God there at Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church. Father, these churches, make all these churches a lighthouse to the community in which they stand. And Father, the pastors of these churches, Pastor Smalls, Pastor Johnson, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay, Father, these pastors, I pray for them to be filled, overflowing with the Holy Spirit to keep these churches on the pathway of righteousness, teaching the truth of your word and not teaching things that are contrary to thy word. Father, Ben Allen. Ben's been bedfast now for many years. Touch him, Father. Touch him in a mighty and great way so that he can come out of that bed and be the head of his home and lead that home, Father, in the pathway of righteousness. Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie. Father, you know what is needed there. We lift them up, put them in your hands. And that little church of God there at Akron, Father, not only a lighthouse, but Father, keep it filled with the Holy Spirit so that it becomes a place of refuge to where the lost of that area can find the truth, peace in the Lord Jesus Christ for their lives. For my friends, Father, in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephron Iron, Father, keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Millie and Bobby Johnson, Father, they need to be in church. I pray that the Holy Spirit will work with Bobby. Let Bobby know where he needs to be. Now, Father, for all of us, keep us all safe now, Father, through the remainder of this day, and bring us together again this evening at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. And we ask all of this in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right, everyone. God bless. Walk with God. He'll walk with you.